السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى. Another incident which shows this clearly, meaning his humility, forbidding evil, even on his deathbed, not shying away from it, is when his daughter Umm al-Mu'mineen Hafsa رضي الله تعالى عنها came to him after he was stabbed. And she said that, O companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O father-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She did not say, O my father. She said, O father-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Amirul Mu'mineen. Right? So when she was saying this, so Umar radiallahu an said to his son, O Abdullah, make me sit up. Pick me up, make me sit up. And then he said, I cannot bear what I hear. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu an made him sit against his chest, because Umar now was too weak now to support his own body. So he made him sit up and he's, you know, supporting him, right? So Umar radiallahu an said to his daughter now, Hazrat Hafsa Ummul Mu'mineen, Hafsa radiallahu anha, due to the right that I have upon you. In other words, that I respect you from this angle, that you are the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are Ummul Mu'mineen. So we have to have a different respect for you all. But I also have a right over you because I'm your father. Never mind you are Ummul Mu'mineen, but I am your father. So due to the right that I have upon you, I forbid you forever to mourn me by mentioning my good aspects only. So you are only talking about all my good. I forbid you to mourn me in this manner. As for your eyes, I do not own them. In other words, I cannot ask you not to shed tears. Tears is a natural thing. Tears can come out, you grieving, and there's no problem with that. You can tear. But I don't want you to talk about all my good qualities and all my... I don't want that. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu reported that when Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu was wounded, Umm al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha lamented for him. Upon this he said, O Hafsa, did you not hear Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that one who is lamented would be punished? But that's referring to a person who is being lamented over in an un-Islamic way, and he had made wasiyat, or it was his practice to do this, then he will get punished. Right? Suhaib radiallahu an also lamented over him. Umar radiallahu an told him also, O Suhaib, didn't you know that one who is lamented is punished? Another incident which further shows his zeal for saying and implementing the right thing, even after being stabbed and with blood seeping out of his body, he's bleeding profusely, right? So the energy, strength, everything is leaving him. So a person suggested to him to appoint his son, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, as the Khalif. And Abdullah bin Umar, He was very suited to become the Khalif, right? Because he had training under his father. He was with his father all the time. He knew exactly how his father was running the state. So he would have been one of the best candidates to put as the Khalif. Not just because he's Umar Nanu's son, but because he understood how everything was running. I mean, he's the son after all, right? So immediately Umar radiallahu anhu refused. And he said, Abdullah is not fit for the task. And he feared Allah Ta'ala regarding this immense responsibility of choosing the correct person. This was with Umar radiallahu anhu, who was praised by some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, since they knew that it will not be, he will not be deluded by it. Whatever praises they have to shower on him, it's not going to affect him. Right? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who is the faqih of the ummah, right? The mufassir and the faqih of the ummah. He said, did not Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pray to Allah ta'ala to strengthen Islam and the Muslims with you? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, right? They, the Muslims, used to live in a state of fear in Makkah Mukarramah. But when you embraced Islam, your Islam was strength for Muslims and their religion. And your end is coming in the form of Shahadat. However, this did not have any negative effect on Umar radiallahu anhu's heart. And he did not swell up with pride. That is why his reply to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma was, by Allah, the deluded one is the one you people delude. That a person will really be deceived if they have to listen to your words. That you all are saying, I'm like this and I'm like that. But you know, I'm just pondering now. The barakat of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua at that time in Makkah Mukarramah when the Muslims were being, before Hijrah, all Muslims were being persecuted, tortured. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua that, Ya Allah, you strengthen Islam either through Umar radiallahu anhu or Abu Jahl. Right? And Allah ta'ala accepted the dua in favor of Umar radiallahu anhu. The barakat of this dua is such that up to this day, a child in a maktab, right, when he reads about Umar radiallahu anhu, he too feels a strength. I don't know if you all experienced it. When you were in maktab and you learnt about Umar radiallahu anhu's hijrat, how he made hijrat, and then you feel like a strength in you. So till today, his incident strengthens Muslims. So now, reality of Ka'b Ahbar's role in the murder of Umar radiallahu anhu. Ka'b Ahbar was actually Ka'b bin Mani al-Humairi. This was his full name. He was known as Abu Ishaq, but later on he became more commonly known as Ka'b Ahbar. He was not very old when Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, and he became a Muslim during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu in 12 Hijri. Before embracing Islam, he was well known as one of the biggest Jewish scholars in Yemen. After becoming Muslim, he gained knowledge from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they and others too gained knowledge from him, because he knew a lot of the old scriptures and Israeli riwayat and all that. So they learned a lot of things from him also. He traveled to the Levant, what we call Sham, right? And he settled in a place called Homs, still called Homs even today. Right? And Homs is part of present-day Syria. Right? So he settled there and he passed away there also. So Ka'b Ahbar has been accused of being part of the conspiracy to murder Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu. Right? So there are some reports that go like this. That when Umar radiallahu anhu proceeded towards his home, the next day Ka'b Ahbar came to him and said, make a will since you will die in 3 days. Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, how do you know that? Ka'b replied, I found it in the Torah. Umar radiallahu anhu asked, by Allah, you found Umar bin Khattab written in the Torah? So Ka'b said, no, by Allah, but I found therein your description and that your life's term has ended. The Khalif replied, but Umar radiallahu anhu does not feel any aches or pains. In other words, I'm not sick, there's nothing. The next day, Ka'b Ahbar came and said to him, O Amirul Mu'mineen, one day has passed. Now you are left with one more day and night. You have until the morning of that night. When morning came, Umar radiallahu anhu went out normal to perform his Fajr namaz. He used to appoint a man in each row of the congregation to ensure that it was straight. And when he was told that all the safs are straight, he would start leading the salah. Abu Lu'lu entered the Jamaat with a double-headed dagger in his hand. The handle was in the middle. He stabbed Umar radiallahu anhu with it 6 times. One of the slashes was below the navel, and that is the one that proved fatal. Based upon this report, some modern scholars have arrived at the conclusion that Ka'b Ahbar was part of the grand conspiracy to murder Umar radiallahu anhu. These latter-day scholars include Dr. Jamil Abdullah Masri in his book Jewish and Christian Influence in Tribulations and Internal Conflicts in the First Century of Islam. Then Abdul Wahhab Najjar in his book The Rightly Guided Khalifs, and Professor Ghazi Muhammad Farij in his book Secret Jewish Activity, Theory and Practice. However, Dr. Ahmad bin Abdullah Zughaybi rejected this conclusion about Ka'b Ahbar, saying, what I see in this convoluted story is that this report narrated by Imam Tabri is not authentic. It's not authentic. And then he gives the reasons why it isn't authentic. Right? So if it were authentic, it would be expected of Umar radiallahu anhu not to suffice with Ka'b Ahbar's claim alone. On the contrary, he would have gathered all the Jewish scholars who had converted to Islam, example Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu, etc. And he would have asked them that Ka'b is saying that he found this in the Torah, is it true? Had he done that, Ka'b would have been exposed as a liar and a conspirator against the Khalif, or at least someone who had some knowledge of such a plot. So this would have led Umar radiallahu anhu to carry out a full investigation and punish the plotters, including Ka'b. This would have been expected of any ruler, especially Umar radiallahu anhu, who was known for being extremely intelligent, sharp-minded, and for investigating news brought to him. However, none of this happened, which is a proof of the report being a figment of imagination. Right? So, many people have gone now into details to explain that the story is false. That Ka'b Ahbar was not involved in any conspiracy or any plot to murder Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now we come to some praises that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had, and also some early ulama of the ummah, how they spoke about Umar radiallahu anhu. This obviously now after he passed away. So Ma'isha radiallahu anha's veneration for him after his maut, she is reported to have said, I used to enter my house freely, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in other words my husband, and my father Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were buried. So I used to enter the house freely because it's my father, my husband and my father. When Umar radiallahu anhu was buried there along with them, By Allah, I did not enter that home except that I was properly dressed, in other words, with my jilbab, with my parda, everything. Right? Out of modesty to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Urwa reported that Maisha radiallahu anha said, when you mention Umar, in other words, when you talk about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the majlis becomes pleasant. In any gathering, if you mention about Umar radiallahu anhu, you start talking about him, the majlis becomes pleasant. Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, so he wept at the time of the demise of Umar radiallahu anhu. He was asked that what makes you cry? He said, I weep for Islam. I weep for Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu's demise has made a dent which will not be mended till the day of Qiyamah. Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu, he said, if the knowledge of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu is placed on one side of the scale and the rest of the knowledge of the people on earth is placed on the other side, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's knowledge would be more. He said, I think Umar radiallahu anhu took 9/10 of all knowledge with him. He also said, Umar radiallahu anhu's embracing of Islam was a victory. His hijrat was nusrat, and his rule was rahmat. Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, there is not a single Muslim household whose members did not experience a decrease in their religious and worldly well-being. In other words, with the demise of Umar radiallahu anhu, right, everybody felt some loss. They felt a dini loss and a worldly loss. Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu anhu said, the example of Islam in the era of Umar radiallahu anhu was that of a man who is coming forward and he keeps coming forward. And after Umar radiallahu anhu's demise, the man has turned back and he will keep going back. In other words, you never reach that pinnacle, that days, like how it was in the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anhu came after the janazah namaz and he said, you have preceded me in performing janazah salah for him, but you will not praise him before I do. And then he said, what an excellent brother in Islam you were, O Umar, generous in truth and miserly in falsehood. Abbas, Sayyidina Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I was the neighbor of Umar radiallahu anhu, and I did not see anyone better than him. A neighbor will know you best. So I did not see anyone better than him. His night was spent in ibadat. His day was spent in fasting and fulfilling the needs of the people. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not desire the world and neither did it desire him. He didn't want the world and the world also never wanted him. In other words, the world never opened up in the time of Abu Bakr and on. But he says with regards to Umar, the world desired Umar radiallahu anhu, but he did not desire it. In other words, in the time of Umar, the wealth was pouring in, but he never touched it. As for us, we are too engrossed in this world. we are too engrossed in this world. Khair, we'll stop there. But that was the sayings of Sahaba and non, praises of Sahaba. Now we'll come to the praises of the Tabi'een. Allah Ta'ala was tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته